Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Monday night. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us tonight. For all of those sticking with us from Redbird Rush Hour, we will continue to talk a lot of Cardinals, but we'll get into a few other things. We'll talk some college football. Big, big weekend of college football in the area, especially with Missouri coming up with a win against Kansas and some other things happening from a national standpoint. So a fair amount of college football to be talked about over the next hour and 45 minutes or so. We've got first pitch tonight of the Cardinals in Seattle at 8:40. That means pregame at 7:45. That means this show's going to end at 7:40. So we got about an hour and a half here before we call it a night. We got a bunch of guests who are going to be on the show today in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to be joined by our good friend Nate Gatter. Of course, you hear him right here on KMOX doing a bunch of things, but he's also the lead college football voice for Westwood One Sports. So we'll talk with him about all things college football, including University of Missouri, which I know he'll enjoy being able to talk about. Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 is going to join us at 6:35. We'll talk Cardinals. We'll talk Mizzou with him. We'll talk a little tennis with him as well because he's a big tennis guy. And then next hour, we're going to have Ryan Fagan joining us, and he's going to be on to talk Cardinals baseball. So Ryan's going to be with us right at the top of the 7 o'clock hour next hour. So we've got a few guests, as always. If you want to join us, you could do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, you can just leave a comment in the chat, and we'll get to some of those comments as we go ahead and continue on with the evening. Cardinals win yesterday. Nice win. They were able to get the lead somewhat early. Sonny Gray pitched well. He had a no-hitter for a while, and they got the lead. San Francisco made a little bit of a run, a little bit of a push, but the Cardinals were able to hold on to it, and they won 2 out of 3. I mentioned this in Redbird Rush Hour. I tweeted it last night. Cardinals continue to get the most out of their opportunity to win games. And what I mean by that is, this is a team that has a run differential that's not very good. They are negative 40 in run differential, and they have a 500 record. Now, don't take that as me saying a 500 record is good, a 500 record is good enough. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm making is, bluntly, this team has no business being a 500 club. And last year, they probably didn't really have much business being an above 500 club with where they were at. But they have a negative 40 run differential, and they're sitting there at 500. To put that in perspective, here are the other teams in the National League with negative run differentials. The Miami Marlins have a negative run differential. They're 11 games under 500. The Atlanta Braves have a negative run differential. They are, what, 15 games under 500? The Washington Nationals have a negative run differential. They're like 30 games under 500. The Pirates have a negative run differential. They're 25 or so games under 500. And the Colorado Rockies have a negative run differential, and they are on pace for the worst record in the history of Major League Baseball. So those are the teams. Those are the teams in the National League with negative run differentials, plus the Cardinals, who are at 500. So what keeps happening is they go have games where they look terrible and they get beat by a ton. And that's what happened the first game of the A's series and the first game of the Giants series. They lost to the A's 11-3 before winning 2-1 and 5-1. And then they lost to the Giants 8-2 before coming back and winning 3-2 and 4-3. I'm not trying to give you a math lesson here, but obviously because they are giving up so many runs in their losses and not scoring runs in those games, those losses are resulting in them having a negative run differential despite the fact that they won each of those series. It says a lot about the club's ability to find ways to win games. You know, that the second game of the Giants series is an example of that, where they didn't have any business winning that game. They didn't. They hadn't scored a single run going in the ninth inning. They're down 2-0. It had been a really bad offensive day. And all of a sudden, they face a guy that they're able to see a little bit, and they put together one heck of a ninth inning where they got some help. They got a walk in there. They got a hit by pitch. So but they took advantage, and then it was good to see Jordan Walker come up with that big hit after the week that he had. I thought it was important to see his teammates be as excited for him as they were, because when you've got a guy like Walker who had basically been publicly called out by the leadership of the team from a manager and a hitting coach standpoint, and you don't really know how much maybe the veterans on the team are wanting to see more from Walker, how much his teammates are wanting to see, when the exuberance that existed for Walker coming up with that hit, when we saw that, I thought it said a lot about the club and the appreciation that they have for Walker. And they may just really like the guy. They might wish that he approached things a little bit differently, but like him nonetheless. I don't think nobody's ever said anything bad about Jordan Walker as a guy. He's a really good dude. He's a great dude. Are there questions about his ability to prepare and just be a pro in the way that he does things? Yeah, that doesn't make him a bad guy. It makes him a young guy who's learning what it takes to be a major leaguer. And it might just be taking him a little bit longer. And the path might be much more meandering for Jordan Walker. So you take the good moments when you get them, and you got a good moment from him on Saturday, and then he didn't have a bad day yesterday either. I am getting frustrated with his defense. It really feels like his defense has taken a big step back. You look at some of these routes that he is taking, it's like he doesn't see the ball off the bat. There was one play on Saturday where he was basically ducking his head. He was holding his head like he thought he was going to get hit by the ball, and it was 15 feet in front of him. So that's been a little bit disappointing for Walker to see that the defense has regressed to go along with everything else that he's been doing. But all that being said, you come out of the weekend and Walker did all right. So it's good to see him respond a bit to what was a very, very challenging week, I'm sure, for him. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we return, our friend Nate Gatter is going to be with us as we'll talk all things college football with him. He's up with us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We had a really good weekend of college football, both locally and from a national standpoint as well. And with that, very happy to welcome onto the program somebody here on KMOX a lot, but he is the lead college football play-by-play voice for Westwood One Sports. It's our good friend Nate Gatter. Nate, appreciate you taking time with us today. How are you doing?
Great to be here, Matt. I'm doing well.
Now, were you you had the Oklahoma State Oregon game this weekend, right?
We did, 69-3, baby.
That was that was a very one-sided contest. I guess in the right direction for Oregon and in the very wrong direction for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mike Gundy kind of set himself up for it with I don't think he totally intended to do this, but some of the things that he said in his press conference this week did not go over super well in Eugene. And the game presentation people at Oregon were ready. They played some of those comments, including some downplaying Autzen Stadium and the noise and the effect that it might have on Oklahoma State's young quarterback making his first college start. They played all of those comments on the video board at various times. And I think it's safe to say it wouldn't have made any difference. There could have been nobody in the stands and Oregon still would have romped. But I think it's safe to say that the crowd had an impact on the game, in particular the two pick sixes in a span of three snaps in the second half.
I saw Gundy afterward. I just happened to catch this, that he said that he made the game plan way too complicated and he took the blame for the loss. But I mean, that's not the entire reason that you lose in that kind of way.
No, their roster is just not very good. To be honest, I think that might be the least talented power conference football team I've ever watched with my own two eyes. Now, we see generally very good teams, but they were overmatched really from beginning to end. Oregon, you know, I mentioned the two pick sixes in three snaps in the third quarter for the Oregon defense. The Oregon offense scored two touchdowns on their first three offensive snaps of the game. So, you know, it was really never in doubt. I mean, two snaps in, Noah Whittington, 59 yards for a touchdown. The very first, then Oklahoma State goes three and out. Oregon gets it back, 65-yard touchdown pass on the very first play of the second drive. At one point, Oregon had four touchdowns, and their longest touchdown drive was like 2 minutes and 20-something seconds. They were just slicing completely through them. I mean, some of it is that Oregon is a very good team. So it's not like Oklahoma State's going to lose by this margin to every team they play. But Oklahoma State is really not good. I mean, it truly was varsity against JV. And I don't think anybody, save the Oklahoma State folks who just wouldn't have wanted to suffer the indignity, I don't think anybody would have been too upset if they let the Oregon crowd do shout at the end of the third quarter, and then everybody went home.
Fair enough. I know you you have a love for Mizzou. I believe your game was going on around the same time as the other. We're amongst friends here. How much of an eye were you keeping on that score as you were going about your game?
When I would think of it, I would check it. But, you know, there's a lot going on during the course of a game, so I would forget it frequently. I think I definitely checked it at halftime. And then I think I checked it once around the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, and our game really slowed down in the second half. So Mizzou was ahead of us by that point. And I think at that point when I checked it, they were down 3, I guess it would have been. They were down 31-28 maybe at that time. And then actually I got the update that Mizzou had taken the lead from John Stashower, who was doing our studio pre- and post-game and halftime hosting. And he maybe once each half will come out of a commercial break and he'll do a quick 60 seconds kind of updating the college football scoreboard around the rest of the country before he throws it back to us. So I actually found out from him as essentially a listener to the broadcast that Mizzou had taken the lead. At that point, it was 35-31. And I, you know, he tossed it to me. That was his last one. And he tossed it saying like, we had to get that one in for Nate so that he would know, you know, how the Tigers are doing. And I think I said something to him on the air to the effect of like, you know, don't give another update if they lose. I don't want to hear if they lose. So, thankfully, all's well that ends well. I think a game that, again, I've only seen the highlights and can go off the statistics, but certainly a game Missouri would feel they should have won more comfortably. But you know what? It's in some ways the identity of the program that Eli Drinkwitz and the players, for that matter, don't back down in the fourth quarter of a close game. They keep doing what they're doing. They went for it on that key 4th and 7 on the catch by Coleman. And I think that's sometimes what separates them in those marginal games, is that Mizzou is not intimidated by the moment. And then some of that is, you know, the swagger of their head coach, I think. And they tend to step up in those fourth quarter moments, especially offensively. So, you know, maybe it'll benefit them to have been in a game where maybe they should have pulled away and they couldn't and had to find a way to win it a little uglier in the end.
They went for a bunch of fourth downs. They were very good on fourth down. And I thought it was key that they took the lead late. They gave it back to Kansas, and then they come up with that stop right there. And that was a point in the game where it was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Sometimes it doesn't matter how many stops you get in a game. It depends on when you get the stop. And they got the stop at the right time, and then they were able to score again. And it looks like the final score wasn't indicative of what that game actually was.
Yeah, and I think, you know, anytime it's a stop as opposed to a score at a critical moment, that says something too, right? I mean, I think about the South Carolina game last year on the road when I think Mizzou would have felt great about their chances having the ball last to go win the game, and they thought they had on that great Cook to Burden touchdown, and then they couldn't hold the lead. You know, even at the very, very end of the game, it was just a little too much time for them to hold the lead. And I think, you know, that's true of a lot of teams in college football, that they'd rather, you know, they'd almost rather be down 3 with the ball and 2 minutes to go than up 3 and defending with 2 minutes to go, right? I mean, I think that's plenty. Certainly in the NFL, it's sometimes true. Last night, the Bills looked so comfortable coming from behind. I don't think, I think they would have much rather had the ball in Josh Allen's hands down a couple of points at the end of the game than vice versa. So, you know, that's sort of the era of football that we live in now. But I think it says something, and it's a real boost for Missouri defensively to be able to get a critical stop like that and feel like the defense made plays down the stretch as well, not just the offense.
It's a great point by you. It's actually something I was talking about when I did a hit with Chris and Amy earlier today, just that where we're at right now with high-level football, it seems like teams really know the process of what you need to do to come back late. And I think Kansas City probably taught a lot of people a lot of things in recent years because they started to show everybody, you know, what you need to do to put together, the score stop score right at the end of the game. You mentioned the Sunday night game, the Jet Steelers game. They were down. The Steelers were going in the fourth quarter of the Mizzou game. It just, we are at a point right now in football where if you have a competent coaching staff, and not everybody does, but if you have a competent coaching staff, I think most of these teams understand at least what has to happen for you to pull off wins like that.
Yeah, I mean, and competent quarterback as well, especially because of how much, you know, in particular at the NFL level, how much the quarterbacks are basically running those 2-minute drill sequences on their own. At the college level, you know, this kind of ties back into what you said about Gundy saying that he made things too complicated for his, you know, a debuting freshman at quarterback in Oklahoma State getting blown out in that game. I think at the college level, you really think about the sort of axiom of, like, it's not what you know that counts, it's what your players know, right? And that's certainly true at the college level. I think, you know, every offensive coordinator in the country at the college level is pretty competent about how offensive football works. It's the much bigger separator is their ability to teach it to their players and put their players in a position to execute. You know, I don't think if you got together the top OCs in the SEC and the Big Ten and they had a meeting with, like, the bottom OCs in the MAC, that the guys in the MAC wouldn't be able to understand what was being talked about in the room, right? They understand the concepts. The guys know football. It's really about how well can you teach it and how well can you get these elite athletes that you've recruited to execute at a high level. And you know, that's where you see the difference between the NFL and college. But I think about that all the time when we're doing our big college games, is that ultimately, even as professionalized as it's become, literally and sort of figuratively, if you will, the kids out there are still kids for the most part. You know, yeah, Jalen Daniels been in college for 6 years for Kansas. Okay, fine. But mostly these are young kids. Bo Prevula, for instance, you know, you're talking about a kid in his early 20s who has played very little college football. Certainly, you know, has never been in that position where he's the guy coming down the stretch in a tight game and everybody's relying on him. It's a real challenge to get them to be able to execute anywhere near their potential. You know, think about just for the regular person. Think about the most pressurized day you've had at work. How close to 100% of your potential did you perform on that day, the first day you'd ever been put in that position? You probably walked away feeling like you were 60, 70% of your best, if that, right? You maybe got the sweaty hands, the stammer in your voice, the room was moving pretty fast. And, you know, I think my opinion is, and I talk about this with broadcasters, that's kind of who you really are is 60 to 70% of your best. That's what you can count on to be there when the pressure's on. Maybe some guys can do better than that. Maybe if you get enough experience, you can do better than that. But that's basically who you are. And so that you have to train at a really, really high 100th percentile level in order to make sure your 60th to 70th percentile is really good. And the college coaches who can do that consistently are unbelievable to me. With all the distractions these kids have, how young and inexperienced they are, to get the complexities of some of this stuff through to them and the ability to communicate it and execute it really quickly in huge pressure situations in front of 80, 90, 100,000 people, some cases who are actively trying to prevent you from succeeding. It really is incredible, and we don't stop and look around and think about it very often.
He is Nate Gatter. You hear him here on KMOX, but he is the lead college football voice for Western Woodland Sports. He'll have the Georgia-Tennessee game from Knoxville this upcoming weekend. Certainly appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll catch up with you again down the line.
Matt, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. That's Nate Gatter joining us here on the program. We'll take a break, and when we return, Jacob Sersosimo is going to join us. You see and hear him on Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest as well. We'll talk a little bit more about Mizzou with him. We'll get into the Cardinals, maybe even a little tennis with him. He's a tennis guy, and it's a big time of the year for tennis. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotional alert. check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City, I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Graybar Sports Open Line continues right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We've got you for about another hour, and then we will get underway with Cardinals pregame, as tonight they are in Seattle. So it's a late night of Cardinals baseball, and we'll have it for you right here on your home for the Cardinals, 104.1 FM at KMOX. Right now, very happy to welcome on to the program. He's one of our good friends. You see him on Channel 4 KMOV, also on Matrix Midwest. He is Jacob Sersosimo. Jacob, always appreciate you spending some time with us. How are you?
You, Matt, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with Mizzou. You guys are a big part of what's going on with Mizzou broadcasting, with everything you do in terms of your programming. And that was a fun game against Kansas. It was an important game against Kansas, and give a lot of credit to the Tigers, not just for coming back after they were down big, but then making the plays in the fourth quarter that really allowed them to win that game.
Yeah, wow, what a game. I mean, the way that Mizzou really reacted to, especially I think the early part of the game when they go up 6-0 and then they give up three touchdowns, and next thing you know, they're down 21. They're down two scores in that one. But I think the biggest thing that I took away from it is we didn't really know what this team was going to be. Central Arkansas isn't necessarily the best benchmark to, you know, prove who you are, who you aren't against a Central Arkansas team that you score 61 points on. And going into the season, there was a lot of uncertainty, I believe, about who this team was. We knew the defense was going to be good. They had Zion Young, Trotter. They had a lot of the guys on that defensive side, Wilson, McClellan. They had so many guys on the defensive side that you knew how good they were going to be. And the offensive side had so many question marks. Yes, you have Brett Norfleet back, but you have a new running back there with Ahmad Hardy. You have a new quarterback in Beau Fribula. You got to replace Armand Membu. You have to replace a guy like Luther Byrne III that is such a playmaker, and there's a reason he's playing in the league. And there were so many question marks, and a lot of those were answered on Saturday. And what a win for this team. Is it an emotional win? Are they going to be able to play in the big moment? Not only do they play in the big moment, they respond in the big moment, and then they come back and they get a massive win to start the season. Yeah, Kansas isn't the number one team in the nation, but it is Kansas. Jalen Daniels has been in college, it seems like, forever, and they play really good against a good Kansas team, and they get a win. So I think we just learned a lot about what Mizzou team we're going to be watching the rest of the season.
I was interested to see, because for people in these parts, they understand what the rivalry between Missouri and Kansas means. But for a bunch of these 22 year olds, many of whom are not from Missouri and or Kansas, both programs really try to instill in the days leading up to the game what this means. And as I watched that game and everything that went along with it, it felt like this wasn't just a fan-driven rivalry, that the players on both sides really did understand that the stakes of this game were a little bit more than your normal everyday rivalry.
I think you have to give a ton of credit to Eli Drinkwitz and what he did. He mentioned in multiple press conferences, and also some of the players even said it too. He brought speakers in the summer to talk about this rivalry. He didn't bring speakers in last week. It was too late last week to realize what this rivalry meant to so many people. You're in the middle of the season. It's time to focus on how you play football and beat another team. Yeah, he talked about the emotions of the game and everything. But last week in press conferences, he's like, we've talked about this. That we know what this rivalry means. We have to win a football game. Like, this rivalry is great and all, but we have to win a football game. And bringing in those speakers this summer and having the summer to sit back and teach these 18 to 22-year-olds, some of that have been in your program for just months at this point and may not be in your program afterwards, that aren't going to have years to learn about this rivalry, have them have speakers in, former players, people that know about this rivalry, and then when the game week comes, it's not new information. You're not learning last Saturday, last Sunday, last Monday about this rivalry. You already know about it, and it's time to play ball. And that's exactly what they did. I give major kudos to Eli Drinkwitz on how he handled that situation. He didn't wait to teach them about what this rivalry meant. By the game week, they're like, yeah, we've been hearing about this for months. We know exactly what this rivalry means to people. I know everyone's talking about it this week because it's a game week, but we're done with that. We want to play ball, and we want to beat them.
I thought it was important. I know Paul Feinbaum had a lot to do with it because I heard like the SEC Nation show was originally going to do the Ole Miss-Kentucky game because that was the one SEC conference game of the weekend. I guess Feinbaum stepped in and said, you people don't understand what this rivalry means. We need to send our resources to Columbia. And I appreciated that, and I was glad that from a national standpoint, there was a lot more of a spotlight on this rivalry. And again, I think it has a lot to do with people like Paul Feinbaum stepping in and making sure that it got the spotlight that it deserved.
1,000%. And the people that are watching that SEC Nation might be, you know, in their 20s or they might be in their early 30s. You got to remember this game hasn't been played in 14 years. So there's a lot of people that watch that show that don't really remember the last time that Kansas played Mizzou, or they don't really remember that 07 game, or they don't really remember what it was like in the 1900s. You know what I mean? Like they don't know that. And so I don't blame them for not knowing, you know, what kind of rivalry this was. Yeah, we got it in basketball last year and that was great and all, but in football, it just means a little different. They got that drum involved. There's a lot that goes on with this rivalry, and you mentioned it, Paul Feinbaum making sure that this rivalry or SEC Nation and SEC Network comes to Mizzou and highlights this, yes, but it's been a while. It's kind of one of those where out of sight, out of mind, a lot of people might not have remembered it nationwide. Everyone looks at the Ohio State-Michigan because they play it every year. A lot of people look at Auburn-Alabama because they play it every year. They don't play this Kansas rivalry every year, and so a lot of people might have forgot how much each of these states and each of these, you know, programs really don't like each other. And I think that was put on full display this weekend. I think ESPN did a great job of highlighting it, bringing in former players to talk about it. I think Mizzou did a fantastic job of kind of reminiscing on this rivalry and making sure everyone, even if you weren't around, if you're a Mizzou fan now and you weren't 14 years ago, even if you weren't around for all that, you're getting the full experience of how big this rivalry is, and I thought everyone involved did a great job.
Yeah, Kansas did too, and I know like lifting up Kansas isn't what people want to hear right now, but I saw a social media video that they posted that was narrated by Aqib Talib, and it was fantastic. Like to your point, everybody involved in the coverage of this game got it right.
And I think sometimes we forget on this side of the state that Kansas City is like right in the middle of this. Right? Like,
yeah.
Kansas City's right in the middle of the Mizzou-Kansas rivalry. We're right in the middle of the Illinois-Mizzou and what goes on there, but they're right in the middle of this. So, ironically enough, on Saturday morning, I listened to the radio station in Kansas City as they did this whole pregame show for this game, right? We got off the air at 11 o'clock for Mizzou Live, and for the next couple hours, I just had the radio on in the background listening to this. And those people are in such a unique perspective on this rivalry. And as you, you know, give kudos to Kansas, I think you have to, because they're such a big part of this rivalry as well. And it kind of takes two to tango in this aspect of you got to have both schools hate each other equally as much. And we hear a lot of the Mizzou side here in St. Louis, but you also got to hear a lot of the Kansas side. And listening to Kansas City radio that day was quite unique because of they have people there that went to school at Mizzou. They have a lot of people there that went to school at Kansas, and they have an equal amount of fan base on each side. So it was interesting, but I think you're right. A lot of people put some legwork into making sure this rivalry is what it's meant to be and what it used to mean. And I think it lived up to the hype.
A couple things for you before we get you out of here. First, just a real quick take on the Cardinals. They're just still just kind of sticking around. They've gotten their record back to 500. They were outscored over their last two series against the Giants and A's, but they end up winning both those series. Even if they're not going to be a playoff club, which seems to be the likely finish, you have to give them credit that they are continuing to play hard and do what they're supposed to do here in the final few weeks of the season.
I think you have to give a lot of credit to Ollie Marmol. And I know, you know, a lot of people have opinions or what they want to say about Ollie Marmol, but you're looking at a club and that has been clear about, I know they don't really want to call it Matt, what do they want to call it? A rebuild? What are they calling it?
It's the runway season. It's a reset, retool.
Reset might be a better way to put that. But when you're in a reset season and you know attendance is going to be down and you just have, you know, not people in St. Louis necessarily, but like people just want to hate on the Cardinals because they've been so good for so long. And so they're like, good, you know, hopefully they have a down season. They're saying things like that. And you have a manager that comes in and embraces that, gives the players their runways, and has the ability to mix in veterans with these new guys and kind of create his own culture. And they're at 500 right now. Yeah, they might be 4.5 games back, and there's kind of a logjam there as you head into the wild card, and they're probably not going to be a postseason team. However, I think it takes a special kind of person to embrace that challenge and do a pretty good job at it. And you're going to become sellers at the deadline and get rid of his three best relief pitchers out of the bullpen. That's okay. They're going to figure out a way to do this. And, you know, you've seen all the transactions that they've made over the last month or so, since that trade deadline, and it's, you know, they're bringing guys up and putting them down all the time. Between Memphis and St. Louis, there's been this constant back and forth with players and pitchers and whoever it is, and to be able to keep some constant in there and, you know, seems like still a very level-headed clubhouse and to be at 500 right now, I think people might not want to hear this, but I think it's pretty impressive.
Not to cut you short on tennis, but just very quickly, U.S. Open just wraps up. What are your overall takeaways? It feels like there's certainly a line of the top-level players, and there's not many of them right now.
It's going to be Carlos Alcaraz or Jannik Sinner. If you're watching a Grand Slam, it's going to be one of those two in the final. The last eight majors that have been played last year and this year have been won by either one of those two. Carlos Alcaraz right now is 22 years old. He has 6 Grand Slam titles. To put that in perspective for you, Matt, Andre Agassi, who everyone loves, and I like him as well, had a great career. He had 8 Grand Slam titles at the end of his career. Right now, Carlos Alcaraz is 22 and has 6. Jannik Sinner not far behind him. So it's controlled by 2 players right now. Luckily for tennis fans, those 2 players are fantastic and very, very fun to watch. So they did the exact same thing at the U.S. Open that they've done for the 7 Grand Slams before that, dating back to the Australian Open in January of 2024. And it's put on a show, and when you get them in the final, you know it's going to be good. But right now, there's a lot of players that got to do a lot of things to get on their level.
Yeah, what's it going to take for this thing to fill out a little bit more where you feel like there's other individuals that have a shot?
I mean, I hate to say it, but you have to look at if one of them gets injured or has to restart with something, or like right now they're just at such a different level. And you're looking at some of these young guys who have a lot of promise, like Alcaraz, like Sinner did at one point, and they're just not doing what Sinner or Alcaraz can do. I mentioned on a podcast today that you look at, you know, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, when they started and they get up to 20 Grand Slams, and Djokovic is in that conversation as well, and they leave. And I was even one of them that were like, I probably won't see this again in my lifetime. I blink and 6 months later, the 2 next greatest things come up and no one's even touching them. So it's going to take a generational talent again. We got 2 generational talents again at the same time we just did for the last 2.5 decades, and we're getting it once again. And it's going to take someone else to come in and rise to a level they've never seen before in order to be remotely on the same level of these 2.
For the tennis fans out there, you've got your tennis podcast, Believe in the ATP Tour. You link to it on your Twitter page, @JacobSersosimo. So if people want more tennis conversation from you, they can certainly check that out. And then, of course, on Channel 4 on Matrix Midwest. Jacob, appreciate the time, and we'll do this again real soon.
Appreciate it, Matt. Always good talking sports with you. Have a good one.
You too. Very good. That's Jacob Sersosimo joining us. One more break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. We're going to get out of here in just a couple minutes, and then 7 o'clock news. And after that, we'll have you for another half hour, 35 minutes or so, leading you right into Cardinals baseball. Cardinals opening up a series tonight in Seattle against the Mariners. Miles Michaelis on the mound. Michaelis has been on a little bit of a run here. However, he has done that in home games. He has not been as good on the road. We'll see what it looks like for him coming up tonight. Cardinals have a tough customer they're going to match up against in Brian Wu, who is a 12-7 with a 3.02 ERA. If you missed the news earlier today, there were some Cardinals roster moves that were made. The best news is Alec Burleson is back from the 10-day injured list, so he's going to be back and available, especially with Wilson Contreras serving his suspension for one more game. You've got Burleson, who can play over first base. Although I thought Nolan Gorman did a nice job over there. Just keeping him in the lineup as much as possible is going to be the key here. And it was less challenging with both Burleson and Arenado out. Now Burleson's back. We'll see what they do. Arenado's probably going to be back with this team here sooner than later. And then we'll see where it goes. If Brendan Donovan continues to be on the injured list, and right now not much of a timeline has been given for Donovan, you would think that at that point Gorman would go back to playing more second than anything else. But I said this earlier during Red Bird Rush Hour. There's really nothing that can happen in the final 18 games of the regular season that's going to change my mind or make me feel really different about any individual. But I do think there is value in continuing to go out and play young guys and play the guys the runway season was for, all of that, as much as possible. So keep making sure that you find a way to keep Gorman in the lineup on an everyday basis, I think, is important. Also, it feels like Jordan Walker has just a little bit of momentum. Does that continue here moving forward? We'll see. So that's one of the moves. Burleson back from the 10-day injury list. Garrett Hampson designated for assignment. He didn't get an opportunity. When he did get opportunities, he didn't perform. Kind of felt like sometimes I get frustrated with the Cardinals that they don't utilize the roster as much as I would like them to use. However, you look at the roster. I talk so much about it being a team that maybe doesn't have the most talented roster. Well, if that's the case, you have to use the most talented guys. So a guy like Garrett Hampson ends up not being used, and now he has been let go. Andre Granillo down, and then Nick Riquet has been brought up. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a while. Hour number two after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.